Hey, welcome to another episode of Game Changer Podcast. I'm David Villa here with my lovely bride, Diana Villa. And I'm so glad you're here. And I love your shirt. Have faith in God. And
Breast cancer awareness.
That's right. That's right. And so we're talking about the law process. We're on episode 3, and we're going to talk about Peter today, one of the disciples of Jesus. And we're going to bring in the life of Peter and talk about it regarding and with regards to the law process. And so I want to read a scripture right from the beginning in 2 Peter 3:18. And it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And, you know, Peter, if anybody could say this, it would be Peter. You know, we watched the life of Peter from the time where Jesus, you know, called him right of the water, you know, and was walking along the Sea of Galilee and looked over, and Peter was fishing and was frustrated because he had not caught any fish. And, you know, the where Jesus meets him and calls him, the first thing he did was perform a miracle. You know, he told Peter, "Hey, you've been working all night," and he sees the frustration and tells him to cast the net on the other side of the boat. And we know the story. Even though Peter, who was a fisherman by trade, you know, could have said, "Man, what do you know?" He didn't. And he cast the net on the other side and pulled in a great harvest of fish. And so we watched Peter's life grow as one that was always boisterous, always loud, always had something to say, but but also grew in process. And so we're talking about the law of process. And let me say this, you know, we talked about Joseph, we talked about David, we're going to talk about others over the next few episodes, but God often works through a process to shape and transform us into the people he created us to be. You know, Peter started out, you know, being named Simon. And, you know, there was a time in the process where, you know, not to fast forward in his life, but Jesus changed his name. So Peter walked through this process, and he was created to be Peter, but he was Simon. And ultimately, though, Peter means a piece of the rock. So Jesus created him to be a foundational piece of the church. And throughout the Bible, you know, we encounter numerous individuals who experienced this transformative journey in their relationship with God. And so one such person is Simon Peter, a disciple of Jesus, whose life teaches us the importance of embracing the law process. So in the Gospels, Diana, we see Peter as a passionate, impulsive disciple. He was quick to speak, act, and make bold declarations of faith. A lot of times, you know, his mouth got him into trouble. He spoke, first. He didn't really think a lot of times before he spoke. And however, his journey with Jesus was not without its challenges and failures. And one significant moment occurred when Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And despite his earlier claims of unwavering loyalty, it was a humbling experience for Peter, but it became a turning point in his life. And little did he know he was about to embark into the very purpose that Jesus created him, God created him to embark on. You know, it wasn't the 3 years that he spent with Jesus. That wasn't his purpose. That was his training. It was really after that. You know, when who would have known that he was going to walk, the very one who denied Jesus, right, 3 times, was going to walk when Jesus was gone from this earth in the physical form. He was going to, you know, because he did that. He denied him while he was there in the physical form. But he was going to step into a purpose of great boldness and really be one of the founders of the church. And so his stories always amazed me. You know, early on, you know, I'm often kind of link these two together. I preached on the sermon, you know, being sifted to fail or anointed to serve. We talked about it on the podcast as well. But really, that's a fascinating story of Peter, because it was right there where you know, the enemy desired to sift him and tried to take him out. And it happened right there at the pinnacle when he denied Jesus 3 times. But, you know, if you rewind it back sometime where Jesus and his disciples were, you know, carried off to a place, Jesus asked them, he said, who do men say that I am? And they begin to throw out names, you know, like Jeremiah and Elijah and different prophets and John the Baptist and what have you. But then he quickly turned it to them. And Peter was one of the main focal characters. Matter of fact, his answer is in the Bible. And Jesus said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And he was talking to those that were around him, those that spend time with him. And Peter quickly said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And right there, Jesus said, you know, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven did." And then that's when he said, your name is now going to be called Peter, which means a piece of the rock. And then he went upon this rock, not Peter, but upon the revelation of who I am, I'm going to build my church. And then he went on to say, the gates of hell will not prevail. You know, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. I've given you the keys to the kingdom. And so Peter's journey kind of embarked there. And that was the faith that was planted in him. That was part of the process. Now, it was after that that he denied Jesus three times. And so anyway, you know, he's impassive. He's impulsive. I can relate to that, right? He was quick to speak, quick to act, made bold declarations of faith, but his actions didn't always back that up because he wasn't mature enough in the process. And the process ultimately was what prepared him for the destiny, and that was doing a lot of bold things for Jesus. And so anyway, when you think of the process, is Simon Peter someone that comes to your mind? I mean, was he a good example of somebody who failed in the process, hated the process, bucked the process, and also ultimately walked in the process and made it out of the other side? What's your thoughts on that when you think of Peter?
I was wondering if you were going to stop talking. I was like, there was so much information.
Wow.
I was trying to like gather my thoughts, but there was so much information, so I'm not sure how my side of this conversation is going to go right now. But I will say we had the privilege to go to Israel several years back, and this actual location where this story took place was one of my favorite places on the Sea of Galilee. I don't remember. I can remember what it looked like, but the thing for me, it was like there was just some sort of like I just felt like I encountered the peace of God in that moment. Like I actually felt like I could feel the presence of the Lord there. And a few months ago, I don't remember what I was listening to. I would love to take credit for it, but it wouldn't be fair. But someone was speaking a message on this story, and they were saying like how, you know, the Lord, you know, died, rose again, but Peter went back to what was familiar to him, fishing. And he went back to what was familiar to him, and it wasn't working. He was an expert fisherman, and he went out all night and caught nothing. But when he came back to the shore, here's Jesus. And he says, well, go do that. And he's like kind of haughty, like, I already did that. He said, well, do it again. And he came back with fish. But when he came back, Jesus knew he was going to go send him back. He knew he was going to bring back overflowing fish. And yet when they came on shore, Jesus already had everything that they needed for breakfast, right? He was already there making breakfast. He already had the fish there. And, you know, sometimes we go through the process is not so Jesus or the Lord needs what we have, what we gain in that process, because he already has it, but it's to go back so that we learn, hey, I need that. So I do think Peter is somewhat a process. I do think of you a lot when I think about Peter, like it's about a passion. Sometimes when we can be so passionate about something that we forget common sense on some level, like, hey, there's a plan, there's a way to do it, there's an infrastructure. But here's the thing, people that have that personality, a lot of times are movers and shakers. So especially for someone like my personality, like I'll die to the process, right? I'll keep creating processes to get to where I need to go, but never move or move. So we make jokes a lot, but you're someone that pulls me, but then I'm someone that pulls you back. So I think it's both things, but ultimately the story is that he comes back to, you know, he walked with God, he knew who God, what Jesus was, and yet he still denied him.
Yeah.
Yikes. And that reality, like how many of us walk with the Lord, read our Bible, go through our devotionals, live a life that we feel like is honoring him, to be put in a place that we deny him in decisions that he's leading us to, or choices that we've made, we deny him and have to be put to a place where you go, oh man, I got that wrong.
I was wondering if you're going to stop talking. How's that feel?
My conversation was much shorter.
No. Well, so we'll just judge that. We'll just see. I think your revelation was great, but I actually think
it's not mine. Somebody else's.
You might have talked a little bit longer than me, but we'll see. You guys could be the judge of that. Maybe you can comment on that. But no, seriously, you know, after Diana was referring to, and it's interesting, you know, the way Peter was called was the same thing happened again. And that's really interesting. I think that it's worth noting, number one, that he didn't recognize at first that that was Jesus doing the same thing. I mean, so that story is identical to how Jesus called him in the first place. He literally called him when he had never met him and looked at him and said, "Hey, throw your net out on the other side." That's how he met him and called him. And then Peter did that, and the provision was there. And then fast forward to where Peter goes back to becoming a fisherman, you know, and Jesus is physically not there. And then Jesus shows up, and then the same scenario happens in the same way. He says, "Hey, you've been fishing all night. Why don't you try throwing your net over there?" And Peter didn't go, "Is that you, Lord?" He didn't even recognize it until after the great harvest of fish came in. And I think that's very worth noting that he didn't recognize it. And that's interesting. It's crazy. But the second part of that is that God called him right back to, "Hey, you know, I'm the source. I'm the source of your provision. Yeah, I've gifted you as a fisherman, but the reality is I'm your source and I'm the reason you're successful." And what you were referring to, though, what happened on the shore was new. And it was after the resurrection of Christ when Peter encountered the risen Lord on the shores of the Sea of Galilee after the great catch for the second time. And so, but this is after he denied him. And Jesus not only forgave Peter, but he also restored and commissioned him for a greater purpose. It was right there that Jesus, everything came full circle.
You know, I feel like I got to believe that Peter at that point has to be questioning a lot of things. Mm-hmm. You know, I've walked with Jesus, and then he turns back to what's familiar. So what I'm saying is, if you're in a place right now, and I'm talking to anybody that's listening right now, and you're kind of like, you really don't know what to do, go back to the beginning. That's really where, you know, the Lord brought Peter back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning.
Go back to the
basic parts of the foundational truths of your faith and where you came to know the Lord. Go back. I love talking about, and I've mentioned it a few different times with just different conversations we've had. I love going back to where I first encountered the Lord, and I didn't even recognize that it was the Lord at that point in my life. It was an encounter the summer after my sixth grade year. I wasn't raised in church, but I had an experience with the Lord at that point. And I love going back to that, like that thought process and what was going on in that moment, because it was in my childlike faith. Like I recognized, like there's something greater than me. I don't understand it, but there must be something to Jesus and God. But it wasn't until my junior, you know, fast forward 5 years, I really didn't come to know the Lord until my junior year of high school. And the same feeling that I felt at that point, which, you know, he's everywhere, he's all knowing, the same feeling I had at that encounter, my first encounter, was the same thing that I experienced, and I recognized it was familiar to me. So I feel like it's interesting that he brought him right back to that first encounter. So if you don't know what to do, go back to the first encounter with the Lord.
Yeah, you can always go back to, that's a great point. And, you know, it was from that point forward that Peter's life exemplified the law process. And, you know, I think that a gradual transformation under the guidance of God's grace. And that's what happened there. So, you know, he experiences spending time with Jesus, seeing miracles, falling in love with the Master. And then 3 years later, Jesus is taken from him. And then physically, he denies him because he wasn't mature yet, even though during that time, faith and foundational faith moments were installed and instilled inside of him. But it was at that moment where he sat on the shore, Jesus, and Jesus asked him, "Hey, do you love my sheep? You know, do you love them? Well, feed them. You know, do you love them? Feed them. Do you love me? Feed me, you know, feed my sheep." And he asked him that three times. And, you know, it was a moment that I think forever solidified the faith inside of Peter, because it was at that moment where Jesus, you know, I think let him know, "I am, you know, the source. I am the source." And so from that point on, you know, Peter's growth was evident in his leadership, you know, within the early church. It was, you know, it's crazy, but it was about 50 days from the time where he denies Jesus, roughly 50 days later. 50 days, that's not, a couple months later, he stood up on the day of Pentecost. Jesus in the flesh was not there, but Peter had received the Holy Spirit, right? Spending time in the upper room and had And, you know, and Jesus said, what if I go, he goes, greater things will you do because I go to the Father. And so right here, his growth was evident and his leadership began to kind of transform in the early church. In the book of Acts, you know, we witness this 50 days later, his courage and boldness as he preached the gospel and performed miracles. And, you know, started on the day of Pentecost. He preached the first sermon. 3,000 people were added to the Lord that day. And, you know, he stood up and it took boldness to stand up. The same one who denied Jesus, you know, when he was right there, you know, received forgiveness, walked in the law process, and then stood up and said, hey, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And, you know, through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, Peter became a pillar of the early Christian community, leading, you know, with wisdom, love, and humility. And that's process. That's the process working itself out. And, you know, it's funny because when Peter went back to that time of fishing again, I think it was a form of him giving up. It was a form of him saying,
There's probably a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Probably a lot of questions. He probably, with, you know, Jesus being gone in the flesh, there was probably senses of like loss because this is someone that he had walked with, he had been with. And so there was probably some sort of, I would even say like a grieving. Mm-hmm. Of some sort,
like,
too.
What has this all been about?
Yes.
In 3 years, man.
So there's a lot of question marks, which we all come to those places in our life as we encounter life and experience. Like, we have question marks. But, you know, some of the things that even like the denial was because there was something that the Word of God talks about, that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. There was something in his heart that had a seed of denial, like denying who he was, right? Like, mm-hmm. questioning, mm-hmm. in those seasons. So it's about what we put in, because here's where I feel like he was able to stand up with authority and declare, like, this is that when he came back up on the shore and encountered Christ for the second time in the same type of situation, something inside him rose up.
Yeah.
Something rose up, and out of his heart, his mouth spoke.
Yeah, and so the key, let's look at the key lesson that we can learn, you know, from Peter's journey. And I believe that the key lesson is that growth in our relationship with Christ takes time. I'm going to say it again. Growth in our relationship with Christ, it just takes time. You know, we can't rush it. We can't hurry it. And we must be willing to embrace the process of transformation and allowing God to mold us and shape us according to his will. You know, and just as a seed needs time to grow into a mighty tree, our spiritual growth requires patience, perseverance, and faithfulness. And, you know, I'm thinking of, like, you know, your vision might be one of an oak tree, but you might just have an acorn. You know, you might see in your mind's eye this huge harvest field, you know, that's just ready to be, you know, picked and say, man, this is the things that God wants to do through me. But all you have is a seed. You know, this business might be, you know, my dream and my goal. And, you know, I have this talent and these giftings, but all I have really is the seed of a dream or the seed of a vision. And so we have to look at it and allow God to mold us and shape us according to his will. Because a lot of times this is where our will, like Peter's, can kind of get mixed up with the will that God has for our life. And so we can't be confused there, because a seed does need time to grow. You know, if it's a seed, it needs time to grow into a tree.
You know, we're honest. There's seasons of life that we pluck out the seed that God's planted because we really don't want it, right? We've already determined we want to go right. And he's saying go left. So this seed is planted and we're like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
And we pluck it out ourselves. So I think it's not just about embracing, because you can embrace and not allow that to work out, those things that the Lord wants to work out. And a lot of times those are the seasons where we go through the same, it seems like we go through the same battles over and over and over again. I don't believe that Peter would have ever came to a place where he denied Christ again.
Yeah, he didn't.
He, because when it was like, when that process, he went back out, came back, like, he encountered him again in a new way. He's like, how can I deny? How can you, right? When you sit before a risen Savior, how can you deny him again, right? And he brought him back to the same spot. I just feel like that's one of the things with process, is it's not just embracing it, but it's learning from it. Growing from it.
The season, the process of God is ultimately about empowering us to walk in what he's called us to do. you know, the whole process that God walks us through is about His will. It's about His purpose. So it's about, and His will is, we know what His will is. I mean, He was God wrapped in the flesh, and His will was not to come here on this earth and establish an earthly kingdom. His goal and purpose for walking here on this earth was to introduce, right, the Son of God, Jesus, into this world to take the sins on of humanity on Himself and die on a cross, and then rise again. And then ultimately to commission you and I and everyone listening to walk in and be an example of a walking, talking Jesus and point people to the risen Christ. And so in the law process, I'll have to say this, it's not about instant perfection. And that's, you know, that's something that I struggle with, because you see so clearly sometimes the vision or what God lays out, the dream, the seed. You see so clearly the harvest, but yet you have this seed, you have this process we have to walk through. We don't like process, but it's not about instant perfection, but it's about progress.
You know, I think that's one of the hardest things, and we talk about this even in a department in our business. I've mentioned this several different times when we're talking about, you know, growth is sometimes my progress may be different than your progress. It might come at a different speed. It may come at a different, like, length. You may get somewhere faster than I get somewhere, but progress is still progress. And to make sure that you take notes of where you've grown. Maybe you have a temper and you just fly off the handle. Not you.
But no, not me.
Not you. But I mean that not all sincerity. I didn't mean that towards you, even though I was staring at you.
She's talking about y'all watching.
But if you have a temper, and so maybe the smallest of things, take note and celebrate the progress. Like, hey, I just had a situation where normally I would fly off the handle, and I recognize, like, I didn't do that, right? Make sure that you take notes of your progress, because the Lord does. And I think that we beat ourselves up about the lack of progress because when we look back, we expect it to be a mile, us to be a mile away from where we started. But even, you know, an eighth of a mile is better than no progress. So I think, yeah, you know, it's not about perfection. It's about progress. But take note even in the small progress, because small things equate to big things.
Yeah. So let's look at some things that we have to do to progress, because really what it's about is progression, right? So you take the law process. It's not about instant perfection, but it's about daily and consistently progressing. And so it involves a few things here, and I wrote them down. Number one, it involves daily surrendering to God. You know, the Bible talks about we're taking our cross up daily. Well, every day we have to surrender to God, because if we're not surrendering to Him, then we're walking in as in control ourselves. So it's a daily surrendering to God. Daily, it requires us to seek His guidance. So not only surrendering to Him, but then listening to Him. Because if you surrender to Him and you abide in Him and you dwell in Him and you listen, then He's going to give you the guidance. And it's not always going to be the first choice that you would make. It's not always going to go the same way you would go. Matter of fact, my experience is my ways and His ways are different. The Bible talks about His ways are above our ways, His thoughts above our thoughts. So we have to daily surrender to Him, daily seek His guidance. We have to daily allow Him to work in us. So if you look at it, this is in itself kind of like a progression. We have to daily surrender. So it's like, hey, God, today I'm surrendering to You so that we can hear what He has to say. Then we have to seek His guidance. And then when we seek His guidance, He's going to give it to us, and He's going to change us. He's going to try to attempt to change us and develop us. And so that's painful. We have to allow Him to work in us. And as we spend time with Him, our goal is also to spend daily time in His Word, and then also daily engage in prayer. You know, engaging in prayer, I think daily is, it's not, you know, don't get convicted that you're not spending hours on your knees praying, but are you spending time where you're driving to work, or maybe when you're in the shower, or maybe when you're getting ready, or maybe when you're under the restroom at the office or whatever it is, you know, or just bowing your head, you know, at your desk or whatever it is, and just, you know, God, I need You today. I need You to give me direction today. I need You to help me understand where my thinking doesn't line up with Your thinking, you know. And so daily engaging in prayer. And then here's another one, participate. And I think this is daily and weekly, church, small groups, community, family, daily participate in fellowship with other believers. it's important because iron sharpens iron. And, you know, if you didn't have someone else to encourage you sometimes, or even if you were not feeling encouraged yourself, but you could encourage someone else, that's that. When I do that, it helps me to become encouraged as well, because it still shows me that even in the middle of what I feel like is not progression, I feel like it's not moving, but God still uses you in spite of where you are. So daily participating in fellowship with other believers, when we do these things, surrender to God daily, seek his guidance, allow him to work in us, spend time in his word, engage in prayer, participate in fellowship with other believers, church, small group, and what have you, then we open ourselves up to his transformative power. That all those things allow me to open myself up to him transforming me through his power. And I'm thinking of Ephesians 3:20, unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that I can ask or think, according to his power that works in me. So we open ourselves up to his transformative power.
When you were talking about that, I just kept hearing the word committed. You have to be committed to it. Committed isn't moved by results. Committed isn't removed. It's not moved by emotions. If you're committed to something, like, you keep going knowing that on the other side there'll be results. You know, it takes, you know, people get to a place where they get in a mess, and it took time to get in that mess, but they want an instant, you know, wand to
get out of it.
To get out of it, but there's going to be a process, and you're going to have to stay committed to it until you see the results, especially if you have already done all these other things, that you've surrendered to God, you sought his guidance, you're allowing to work through, you're spending time, you're being encouraged, you're engaging in prayer, you're participating. Like, stay committed to it. Stay committed to it. Keep going through it, even if keep going towards it, even if you don't feel it. And I think that's where right now in this time period, in this life, it's when we don't feel it, we just kind of like, okay, on to the next.
Yeah.
And I think that there's something to be said about someone that stays committed through the entire process.
Yeah. And so let's remember the words of Peter himself, going back to 2 Peter 3:18. But grow, that's a key word, right? Grow. Peter said, let's grow. And that's what he got that from the fact that it took time. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I love that. Again, now listening to a little bit of his life and discussing a little bit of his life, you see why he started with grace. Because he needed God's grace so much more, because where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So he said, grow in the grace and knowledge. It's not just knowledge, but as you begin to apply the knowledge, you're going to need his grace. And he said, let's grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'll say this, our spiritual growth is a lifelong journey, and each step we take brings us closer to the person God desires us to be. And again, moving at the speed of whatever the speed is, right? And you said it.
I think it was interesting that he started with grace and knowledge. Yeah. Because sometimes when we get knowledge, we don't extend grace to people.
That's good.
So I think it's interesting that they grow in grace. Even above knowledge, he said grow in grace. Because sometimes when we get knowledgeable, we lose grace and become critical of others, although we want grace extended to ourselves.
Yeah.
So I do think it's interesting that grace was first in that scripture.
I do too. Do me a favor, Diana. So those listening now, right, that can relate to this, I mean, you got a lot of people that can relate to Peter, you know, as you said, me, you know, just simply, he's one of my favorite people in the Bible, just simply because of my personality relates to his personality a lot. You know, he was a fire aim ready kind of guy, and it got him in a lot of trouble, but it also, you know, he also, I think, found favor with the Lord because he was willing to jump in and do as well. So God gave him a lot of grace and worked in his life and used him mightily. But there's people listening right now, and then there's others that are walking through the process that, you know, can pick bits and pieces out of this as well. Why don't you pray for those listening and watching right now that God will help them in this process by using the example that Peter went through.
Father, we thank you for the example of Peter and the reminder that growth in our relationship with you is a process.
Yes, Lord.
Help us to embrace the journey, knowing that you are continually shaping us. Give us patience and perseverance as we seek to grow in your grace and your knowledge. In Jesus' name,
amen. All right, so take a moment. Here's a reflection today. Reflect on your own spiritual journey, wherever you are right now. And so here's the question we can leave with. In what areas do you need to sense the need for growth and transformation? What areas do you sense the need for growth and transformation? And here's the second question. How can you actively embrace the law of process in your relationship with God? I believe that those two questions will help us in our journey. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, guys, we appreciate you hanging out with us today. Hopefully the law of process is helping you. It's helping me just going through the lives of some of these great men and women of God. And if you are not a subscriber to our podcast, please do subscribe on YouTube or Spotify or Apple Podcast. That way you can be aware and notified every time an episode drops. Click the notification bell. That way you're notified, especially on YouTube. Share it with someone. Maybe you know someone that that you feel like can use this. I believe we all can, certainly. And if it's good enough for Peter, if it's good enough for Joseph, if it's good enough for David, and it's good enough for Jesus. Jesus walked through a process himself. I mean, think about this. He was God wrapped in flesh, and he had to start as a baby. You know what I mean? If you're talking about a process, I mean, this is God of the universe, and he knew it was God when he was born, and he had to start as a baby. I mean, he had to get his diaper changed, and he had to get disciplined and corrected and learn how to speak and so forth. And so there was a huge law process there. He didn't start his public ministry until the age of 30. So there's a 30-year process there where he knew probably more than most people that he was in a room with his entire childhood. So, if you've shared this with somebody, and if you are not following us on the Game Changer app, you can go to the Android store, the Google store, Apple store, and you can download it as Game Changer by IPD Agency, and you can stay up to speed on everything we're doing in the marketplace. Also, if you're on social media, we'd love to see what God's doing in your life. Make sure you tag us and let us know. Comment if you're getting touched by these. We would love to hear your comments. It means a lot to us as well. So we'll see you guys next time. Are you good?
I'm good.
All right, we'll see you next time on Game Changer.
Until next time.